is a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. Come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. I appreciate the song selections that Brother Glenn picked out on this morning, allowing us to lift our voices unto God to give Him all praise, glory, and honor. The prayer that Brother Robert offered up on our behalf, I appreciate him for that. Brother Mark and the remarks that he made as he presided over the Lord's table. The importance of prayer, the thought of being able to come before God and asking Him for the desires of our hearts, and Jesus being that mediator on our behalf. It is a great thing to know that Jesus knows each one of us when we do what we are supposed to do. So let us think about all of those different things that we have thus far experienced on this morning, that we have participated in. We have a command to gather together upon the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper. As Brother Mark pointed out, our example, the Bible shows us in Acts 20 and verse 7, when they came together upon the first day of the week to break bread. We also see in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, the command to give upon the first day of the week. The first day of the week. And, you know, we have a problem with people that want to argue about partaking of communion upon the first day of every week. But we have no problem with them when the boss says that payday is on Friday. He does not have to say every Friday. You are looking for your check on Friday. So why do we have a problem with people partaking of the communion upon every Sunday? We also see in Acts 20 where Paul continued to talk to them until midnight, Brother Malachi. And you know, when we come together, that's a great opportunity. We come together to partake of the Lord's Supper, and we come together to give as God has prospered us. So we also come together to hear God's word being proclaimed. Amen. And I would like to direct your minds to, again, James chapter 5, positive thinking, positive living. Positive thinking, positive living. We, in so many times, so many cases in our lives, we complain about this, we complain about that. We want a change, but we do not want to do anything. A sister mentioned this morning about being in the middle of the ocean or the middle of the sea, and a boat comes by, but that boat does not appeal to you. That boat is not what you were expecting. You were expecting maybe a great ship to come by, or a yacht to come by, or even the Titanic to come by. But this little raggedy boat comes by and you need help, but yet you don't want to give in or get in. It's not what you're looking for. Well, the problems that we go through in this life, we deal with these things, we go through these things because we do not want to submit to God. God answers prayer. Amen. Contrary to popular belief, God answers prayer. It may not be how you want Him to answer. It may not be what you want. It may not be when you want it. But guess what? God answers prayer. Amen. The prayer could, the answer could be yes. The answer could be no. The answer could be just waiting. Just waiting. That may be your answer already. So we have to think about James. As James mentions here, prayer. We have to know that when we pray to God, what we pray, what we are praying for, it has to be a prayer of faith. We can't just say, God, if you're able to do this, or if you're able to do, just forget about that. God is able to do whatever he wants to do. Why? Because he is God. He answers prayer. We're going to start with verse 13. Verse 13, the power of faith, the prayer of faith. The prayer has power, but we have to have faith in what we are praying for. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Now, we don't have a problem with that part, right? Singing praise because we're happy. Why are you singing? I'm happy. Why are you happy? I got this new job. How'd you get that job? It just fell in my lap. Did you ever think about praying for something and letting God do everything else? But we back up and we look at this suffering part. If any among you suffering, let him pray. Many times we just want to suffer. We want someone to feel sorry for us. We want to have a pity party. Don't invite me. There's certain parties I just don't go to, and pity parties is one of them. GI party, maybe. But a pity party, no. If you're suffering, talk to God. You can talk to your friends, you can talk to your family, and you're subject to hear it again. But if you talk to God, you don't have to worry about hearing it again. All you're doing is waiting on results. Waiting on God to answer your prayer. He says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. You know, we have some people that are going through some sicknesses now. They don't want to share it with anybody. You don't have to go through those things by yourself. You're not even praying to God that your sickness may be healed. Call the elders. Let them pray for you. That's Bible. Let's do what the Bible says. Let's not try to take on things by ourselves. Let's share it with others and let them pray for us as well. Amen. He says, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he committed sins, he will be forgiven. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So we have to know, what are you dealing with in your life? You're suffering, you're sick. You have a sin that you want someone to pray for on your behalf. Remember Simon in Acts chapter 8 when Peter said to him, you need to have part in a lot in this matter. May your money perish with you. Pray for me, Peter. I need you right now. I appreciate what you've said. I need you right now to pray that these things may not come to me. They may not happen to me. We continue. He says, therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous, listen what it says now, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, the Bible says, availeth much. You have something to look forward to when you fall down on your knees and pray to God. You have something to look forward to when you're standing and praying to God. You have something to look forward to. So let's continue to pray to God for whatever we're going through in this life, and let's continue to ask others to pray for us. We don't have to go through these things by ourselves that we're going through. We have a Father who is concerned about us. We have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who's ready to talk to the Father on our behalf. We have the Holy Spirit who, when we do not know what to pray for, he intercedes for us as well. We have the three in the Godhead willing, waiting for us to do what we're supposed to be doing. So why not do those things? Midterms, I believe, what they call them, whatever, is coming up. Time to cast your vote for some people. You know, many of us, what we're going to do, instead of casting our vote, we're going to complain. And we're going to complain, and we're going to complain, and we're going to complain. And we're going to keep complaining. We're not going to stop and say, what can I do about the situation? What can I do about who's in office? What can I do about it? You can't change it. If you didn't cast a vote, you most definitely can't change it. But let us think about 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Pray for all men. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for our peers. We pray for our employers. We pray for the government. We pray for these men that are in leadership positions, and we pray for them because we want a change, because we want to live peaceably upon this earth. We pray for all men because all men are not going to do what they're supposed to do. But prayer changes things, and not only things, but prayer changes people. Amen. Have you ever thought about praying before, Brother Butch? When they don't act right, when they don't say the right things, when they don't treat you right, have you ever thought about praying for? You know what? That's a Bible verse for that, is it not? Pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Pray for them. Don't talk about them. I don't want to hear it. You know who do want to hear it? God wants to hear it. God is waiting on you to pray for them, and he's attentive to your prayer if you are living the way you're supposed to be living. Look what it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says, first of all, to my prayer for all people now, first of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. He covered all aspects of prayer right there. Supplications on behalf of, intercessions for them, and thanksgiving. You know, I look at this thanksgiving part. We want to come to God, going back to that, just prayers in general. We just want to come to God, and we want to continue to ask God for this, ask God for that. And we forget about thanking him for what he's already done for us. Have you ever thought about just thanking him? Thanking him for waking you up this morning. Thanking him for letting you have the activity of your limbs. Thanking him for allowing some of us to be in our right minds. Have you ever thought about that? Instead of always coming to him and asking him for something? He's our Father, and he's ready to grant us our petitions, but he also wants us to thank him. Well, why do I say that? How do I know? Because of what the Bible says. The Bible says that God wants us to come to him with prayers of thanksgivings. And it said, not just on our behalf, but be made for all people. Lord, I thank you for watching over my children. Lord, I thank you for letting me have a good boss. Lord, I even thank you for a bad boss. We need to pray for our neighbors, our peers, our employers, our government. We need to pray for those individuals because we all need prayers. Y'all need prayers. For kings and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceable and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. So we pray for those people that are in government. We pray for them. Why do we pray for them? We pray for them that we may lead a peaceable and quiet life. Let them make no laws that may hinder us from worshiping you, God, in spirit and in truth. Let them make no laws, but they already are made, that will cause conflicts through the neighborhoods, through our communities, in our cities. Those laws are made, and people have to take a stand because of those laws that are made. But we still, as we take that stand, we pray for our government and make some crazy laws. They'll pass some things that go against God's word. And again, you know, the court system, our government, that they are just as crooked as can be. When they say that they believe that God's word is truth, why pass a law that goes against his word? Amen. Why put your stamp of approval on it? We have to pray for these men because they have no idea what the end holds for them. Amen. They've been told, but they really have no idea. They don't believe that there's a hell where they will spend the eternity, but there is one. And it wasn't prepared for them. It was prepared for Satan and his angels. But many men, as Brother Brown said this morning, there's a lot of preachers that are going to be going to hell. I don't know why he just singled out preachers, because there's some elders that are going to go to hell as well. Some members that are going to go to hell as well. So yes, Brother Brown, I read your sheet. I heard your voice. But we need to understand that we all need to do what we're supposed to do. He says in verse 4, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. All people. Man, that's a sorry president. But you know what? God wants him to be saved. Our mayor, he's not worth two pennies, but God wants him to be saved. Our governor, God wants him to be saved. Our law enforcement officers, God wants them to be saved. Men everywhere who desires all people, our neighbors, our peers, our employers, our government, God wants them to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. How are they going to ever hear the truth if we're just talking about them and not trying to help them? You ever thought about that? Pray for all men. Can't pray for them. I just can't do it. Why? He treats me so bad. That's why you should pray for him. That's why you should pray for her, because they treat you so bad. My family is not acting the way I want them to act. Hey, what you want is not always what you're going to get. You're going to get what you need. Maybe your family is not acting right because you're not acting right. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray always. Pray always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. When things are going good, pray. When things are not going so good, pray. When you're happy, pray. When you're sad, pray. Man, I thank God for this new job, man. This is great. I thank God that my family is acting right. It's great. Oh, yes. Thank you, God. What's wrong with you? Man, my family is just, they're not doing what I want them to do. My boss is not treating me right. Man, I've lost everything. I don't really believe that there is a God. You know, that's the way we act. That's what we think. But things are going good. Thank you, God. Things are going bad. There is no God. He's still gone. He is still there. He's waiting for you to acknowledge, God, I need you. My boss is just not doing what he or she needs to be doing. My family is not acting right. God, I need you. Lord, I've lost everything, but I still have you. I'm happy. I'm praying. I'm sad. I'm praying. In every circumstance, whatever goes on in your life, give God thanks. Give God thanks. Could be worse. And if you pray, guess what? It could be better. You know, we always like better. We don't like worse. When we perform marriage ceremonies, those of us that have, those of us that will, for better or worse. Baby, I love you. Until she burned the bacon, baby, you need to learn how to cook. No. For better or worse. Put some more bacon in. It's just that easy. You don't have to fuss and fight about it. Put some more in. Be happy. Be happy that you have bacon to put in. To smell that bacon that's burning in the oven. Be happy for that. Lord, I thank you for my nose. I wish you would turn it off right now, but thank you, Lord, for my nose. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. See, we need to give God thanks in all things, always. Pray continually. Pray continually. Pray with the right attitude. You know, you say there's only one way to pray. You have to have a good attitude. Though we got some people that pray with bad attitudes. They come to God and they demand things from God. God, I need this and I need it right now. You must. No, God must not. He does not have to answer your prayer. He does not have to listen to you. If you're praying to him with that type of attitude, demanding something, he's not listening to you. You're in sin. You are in sin, and God does not want to hear it. No one else wants to hear it either. You need to get your attitude right. See, we need some attitude adjustments. When my boys were little, you know, they used to get attitude adjustments all the time. Just tweak it just a little bit, and everything will be all right for a while. Then you had to go back and you had to readjust it. It's like running a machine, you know. Ooh, that's a fine running machine. Runs like a sewing machine. Well, we got a couple of ladies in here that sew. From time to time, do you not have to tweak that sewing machine, take it to the shop, get somebody to work on it? Our attitude, sometimes they're great, but sometimes they need some adjustments. We need to understand that we need to come to God in a humble way. Come to Him knowing that He is God and that we are His creation. Come to Him with respect, not demanding, but asking for things. Yes, Lord, You said You would give me the desires of my heart. But it all depends, when we say that to Him, how we say it. Amen. How we say it. So we have to think about that. Come to Him joyfully. Come to Him with a smile within your heart. You don't have to have one on your face, but come to Him with a smile in your heart. And we're going to talk this evening. We're going to talk about some people that came to God in the way that they came to Him and how He answered their prayers. And how those that He just looked at, looked down upon, and just, I really don't know who he or she is talking to, but not me. And that's what we say to people sometimes. We have to know how to talk to people. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. That's the right scripture. Let me get over here. We'll have to skip that one. Let's go ahead and do Hebrews 11 and 6. Pray believing. Pray believing. Actually, that was 1 Timothy 2, 8. 1 Timothy 2, 8. I can look at it. He says, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Don't pray mad. Don't pray in the midst of a fight. You know, I've had someone ask me one time, pray for us right now. I said, no, wait. Let's talk about what's happening right here before we pray. Because just me praying for you and you're all mad and you're all angry is not going to do any good. Let's talk about this first and then let's pray. Because we have some people that are just angry just to be angry. They're fighting just to be fighting. It says that men, you pray. I desire that men everywhere. That you know, in every place, the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or quarreling. You don't go to an elder that's mad and ask him to pray for you. And I don't know why he would be mad anyway. But anywho, you don't do that. You don't go to a member and say, pray for me. That member's mad. You don't want a mad person praying for you. You want somebody that's humble. You want someone that's going to go to God respectful, that's going to go to God in a manner that he says, I'm listening to your prayer, and I've been waiting on you to pray for me on the behalf of these other people. I've been waiting. So we're going to go through some things in this life. And as we go through them, we need to realize that God is waiting to hear from us. He was waiting to hear from Adam and Eve in the garden. Even when they tried to hide from him, he wanted to hear from them. Where are you? Where are you? And that question could be asked to us today. Where are you? I haven't heard from you in a while. Not just today, but I haven't heard from you in a while. Where are you? Where are you? Have you looked in the Word and saw that you were doing something wrong and you did not want to change, so therefore you did not want to talk to God? Change it. And the only way you're going to change it is by talking to God. So let's do that. Let's do that. Pray believing. We need to trust. We need to accept. And we need to keep living. Amen. Trust in God. Accept the answer to your prayer. And keep living a holy, a righteous, a God-fearing life. We need to do that. For we have some people that just don't trust in nobody. They don't trust in God. They don't accept what God has to say. So therefore, they just give up on living. I don't have nothing to live for. There is no God. He has not done anything I asked him to do. He's God again. He's always going to do what he is supposed to do. He's going to do what is right, what is best for us. That's what God has done, and that's what God will do. Again, Brother Mark pointed out that God sent his son to die for the sins that we committed. For the sins of the world, his son came to die. Jesus did no wrong, but God saw that it would be right to send him. And Jesus accepted that mission. Of course, his prayer was, Father, if it be thy will, allow this cup to be removed from me, but not my will be done, but your will be done. We already know the rest of the story, that he was crucified. It was the will of the Father. So let's keep doing what we're supposed to do. In the book of Hebrews, the chapter 11 and verses 6, Hebrews chapter 11 and the verses 6, see, we have to have faith. We have to believe that what we pray for, that it will come to pass. The Bible says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder, or he rewards those that seek him. Just that clear, just that plain. You have to have faith. You have to draw near to him, and he will reward you. Have you ever just, again, stopped? I believe that there is a God. I believe that he answers prayer, and I'm going to talk to him on today. I'm going to ask him for what I want. I'm going to ask him to fix whatever's going wrong in my life. I'm going to ask him to fix it. But I want you to be aware of something. Sometimes some things do not need to be fixed. They need to remain just like they are. Remember Paul praying for the thorn to be removed from his side. And the answer, my grace is sufficient. God, what you have in store for me, I'm ready for it. That's what we should pray to it. Lord, I know that my family is not acting right. And Lord, I'm just going to accept that fact that they're not acting right. Because remember this, everyone is not going to be saved. Everyone is not going to remain saved. Remember that. So some things we're just going to have to live with. And as we live with them, we continue to trust in God and accept what he has given us, and keep on living. Keep on living. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. I can't, this is the attitude of some people. I just can't live like this. Why are you looking so down? Things are not happening the way I want them to happen. Look what James says. He said, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, that it is driven and tossed by the wind. Let me read down just a little bit further. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Not some, but all his ways. He's unstable. Well, what do you mean by that? He's a good husband. He's a good husband today, but tomorrow, ooh. He's a good employer, yes, today, but just wait. It's like sometimes we talk about the weather. You don't like the weather, just stick around. It's going to change. That's God's doing. But man's doing, to be unstable, to be double-minded, is man's doing. That's not God's way. That's man's way. God wants us to have a one-track mind, and that one-track mind will keep us on the right track, doing what he wants us to do. But we go back again and we look at count it all joy. All joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. They're not acting right. I'm still joyful. You know why you can still be joyful when your family is not acting right? Because you still have a family. You know how you can be joyful, why you can be joyful when things are not happening right on your job? Because you still have a job. We have to know that we're going to come up against some things that we don't like. But we can still be joyful in those things. We can count it all joy. Lord, thank you for this, because if I'd never gone through it, I would have never known that I could go through it. Thanks for bringing these things into my life. You know, we never know how we're going to act until we get into a situation. I can tell you a whole lot of things. I wouldn't let them do me like that. I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't like that. You don't know until it happens to you. You don't know until it happens to you. How many of us really and truly have joy this morning because of some trials and tribulations that we're going through? How many of us can truly go to God and we can thank him for these trials and tribulations that we're going through? See, sometimes the trial and tribulation that you're going through it in order to help someone else out. You're going through it, yes, to benefit you most definitely, but it can also help someone else out. Because once you go through it while you're going through it, you can talk to someone else about it. And you'll be surprised how many people are going through the same things that you're going through. See, you're not the only one that has ever had problems with your husband. You're not the only one that has ever had problems with your children or with your wife or with your employer or with your peers, your neighbors. You're not the only one. You're not the only one that has ever lost anything in a house fire. Or totaled out your automobile. You're not the only one. You're not the only one that has a sickness running through your family. Some family member is not living the way they're supposed to. You're not the only one. But the Bible says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. It's a trial. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about your wife? What are you going to do about your children? What are you going to do about your husband? What are you going to do about your employers? What are you going to do? We're going to continue to trust in God. We're going to continue to pray to him. We're going to continue to accept what he has in store for us. We're going to keep living. Don't give up. Don't give up. You know, yeah, we get tired of some things, but it doesn't mean that we're going to give up. We have some sleepless nights, but it doesn't mean that we're going to give up. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't been praying to God the way you're supposed to because you have given up. Well, it's just, this is not the game mercy. It's not someone having a chokehold on you and telling you, you know, to say uncle, this, that, the other. This is life. God wants you to talk to him. He wants you to lean upon your neighbor. He wants you to lean upon that other brother and sister in Christ that is doing what they're supposed to. He wants you to lean upon them. He wants you to ask for prayers. We as men do not have the answers, but God has them. Has every last one of them. He's answered all we need right here. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is right here in this book. No situation has anybody ever came upon in this life that is not in this book. No situation. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. What has happened, and it will happen again. Let's just be ready for it. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we're asking you to come, become one today, to come to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be immersed in the watery grave of baptism, rising to walk a newness of life. If you are a Christian, you have strayed away from the fold, we're asking you to come back. God is waiting on you to come back, and we welcome you with open arms when you come back. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.